Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. My name is Jim Storer with the Community Roundtable, and I am here with my capable associate, Shannon Abram. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Jim. We are so excited to have another special podcast guest with us this month. We have Sherlyn Sue with us. Sherlyn, we would love if you could take a minute to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about where you work and the kind of community that you work with.
Sure. Thanks for having me. So you did pronounce my last name correctly, and I currently work at BCG, which stands for the Boston Consulting Group. I'm based out of Los Angeles, and our communities are a little bit different. It's not your typical Jive instance where it's the social intranet of the company or where our HR and communications team kind of push out, you know, communications to the entire company. But it is made up of many different really cool communities that really enable the tacit knowledge sharing. Especially in a consulting firm like ours, it's so important for us to really capture and share that informal, you know, the experiences, the insights as best we can. And that's primarily how we use community. So I've been here for a little bit over a year and kind of wearing dual hats as a strategist as well as a community manager. And it's just been really exciting. Yeah, a lot going on.
So, Sherlyn, I want to kick us off by talking a little bit about your community ecosystem and hearing about a little bit more depth about what you're doing. And maybe if you could share some best practices about driving adoption in internal communities.
Yes, that is such a huge topic. And I think we could probably spend an hour on this of lessons learned, right? And so a few things that I'll share are probably not going to be brand new to everyone, but I think they are still very important. And especially having done this in a previous company, it's really allowed me to see kind of the universal principles that work no matter what organization, small or large, what industry. At the same time, there are variables like culture and, you know, just different processes of how we do things at BCG that really differ. Just really back to the basics, I think, and going back to how I described our instance of online communities, because it's really not like one social, you know, central area per se, I think that each community, the first impression and experience for our employees is very, very critical. And so therefore, I think it's even more important that each of our community managers is very well equipped and provides a very welcoming and onboarding experience. So I would just stress basic community management principles down to purpose, right? So when a BCGer comes into, they've been invited to analytics tools community, when they get there, they need to be very clear about why am I here. Oftentimes they wonder, what are we doing here? Why can't we just stick to our email distribution list that's worked really well? You know, but making sure that the community manager communicates a very clear value proposition, and especially if it can distinguish from email or the current way of doing things, I think that helps a ton. Another kind of community management best practice, I would say, seeding content to ensure that the members have very valuable information and that also they have something to react to, right? We always have a, hey, here you can come and ask questions, but the reality is oftentimes people don't just comfortably come to a community and start posting and start asking questions. So really giving them a comfortable place with baby steps and giving them meaningful information that they can respond to or validate or read up on is really important. And that oftentimes includes a content plan, and it can be very flexible. It can be, you know, quarterly by themes, but the community manager would have a good cadence of meaningful information that's timely according to what the members are working on. And I think another part of this kind of community manager role is learning how to facilitate conversations and learning how to really reward those who are liking or talking or responding. So oftentimes it could be anything from, just a quick validation, great question, and then a response, all the way to teaching people how to ask good questions or how to respond by being helpful. And I think those are just like basic skills of like the digital worker in the 21st century, but oftentimes they don't come naturally. It sounds like very baby steps, but if a community manager can get that down and really teach their members to do that, I think the flow of knowledge will come that much easier. So that's one.
That's one. You've got many?
Yeah, no, please go ahead. I do have many, but...
Well, it's
interesting.
What were
you going to say?
It's interesting. I like the way you talk through, I'll call it community member comfort, right? And we actually have been doing a lot of research into this lately. We published the Work Out Loud framework. And that framework talks about the level of comfort that members have and the likely artifacts of that comfort, like how do they participate over time? And your point mm-hmm. about giving them kind of lower barrier activities, it might be liking, it could be commenting on, someone else's question, not really answering it, but just commenting. And as they get more comfortable in some of the basic interactions, they'll level up and move into the more intense, I guess, like putting yourself out there and asking a tough question. Those sorts mm-hmm. of activities are higher order. And so, I think mm-hmm. what you've talked about sounds like it's basic, but it actually is rooted in some really good science. So it's good to hear that you're giving it that approach.
No, that's great. I am a very big fan of the Community Roundtable's Work Out Loud framework, and it's actually something we're really trying to implement, to be very intentional about. And I will say one more thing related to it is really making sure that our communities and the way we promote the promote them are driven by use cases or by a business scenario point of view. So, for example, the last thing we want to do is say, hey, everybody, come to our community, and then, where they just come to the website and then learn all the things they can do. But we want to provide more of an approach of, we know this is your world. We know your persona. Here are the user stories. This is where community comes in and enables you. So we're about to upgrade, actually, our technology platform. And something that we're working on the homepage is to be able to kind of, for a typical persona, provide, like, at a high level, their work processes and then show them where, for example, you're working on a proposal or you're executing a case and you need information about XYZ. So now you're trying to locate an expert. Well, this is what you can do. You can tap into these, any of these 10 communities by topic and crowdsource your question, something like this. In preparation for the upgrade, we're trying to provide some recorded demos, again, according to use cases, whether it's expertise location or onboarding or project management, so that it doesn't feel like here's this cool new platform, you should just use it. It's more about, it's really going to help you do your job a lot better.
That sounds so great. I love the idea that you're approaching it so thoughtfully to set the members up to succeed for what they're doing, because obviously then that will drive, if someone's having a good experience and getting the things they need and feel like they're contributing, it's going to contribute to repeat usage. And I think that's so great that you're being mindful of that. My first question is that inside the network, in the CR network, Hillary, our community manager, has been talking a lot about advocacy programs. Do you have any advice or best practices for how advocacy programs can impact an internal community specifically?
Ooh, I love advocacy programs. And, you know, I have to admit, it's not that I'm a pro at it by any means. I'm still learning a ton. But it really, personally, it really motivates me to do my job like as excellently as I can. I currently don't have a team. I mean, I work with one IT guy, and I'm hiring an analyst is coming on board with me in July. But the champions group that we have, they're my extended team. And so I rely on them a lot. And, you know, it is purely that intrinsic motivation. So at BCG, we actually started a formal advocates program in fall of last year. And it's purely, we did a little mini campaign just to say, hey, you know, if you've got guts and glory, you know, if you want to really improve the way that we collaborate in our company, and it's pretty much like technology agnostic, but we're just like, hey, we're looking to really increase our collaboration efforts, make it more effective, more efficient, really make sure that this is a strong part of our DNA. If you have thoughts, if you have want to be a part of this kind of change, sign up, you know, and come join our collaboration champions group. So I would say we started that out and certainly got our senior leadership to really endorse it and send out personal invitations. And everyone was super excited. I would say a lot of things have helped towards its progress so far. One is having, just from a tactical perspective, having a really good cadence of communications. I mean, we do have a private group, but at BCG, the reality is, I want to say there's half of the group, there's roughly 50 right now to start with. About half of them understand how to use the platform and understand, you know, the value of online communities. They totally get it. They are tech savvy. The other half, they're very new to the communities concept, but they believe that we need to improve the way we work, and they believe in solving for pain points, and they're willing to learn. So I feel like there's two types of audiences we have to cater to, and it can get a little tricky. And that being said, even in our community, it's not, we would think, oh, it's a champions group, they're going to be so talkative, but it's not really the case. So even something as simple as making sure there's a regular cadence of calls and activity, you know, whether it's subcommittees working on different initiatives or just one main call. So what I like to do is have a monthly call and making sure that that hour has very substantial content that they wouldn't get otherwise, and that they wouldn't get, you know, just by me posting in the community. And what I love is, I think something that's worked out really well is we've had guest speakers come in. So let me back up. One thing I just put out a quick poll to say, hey, what would you guys like to discuss? You know, here's our vision. Here's our, these are our goals for the year, et cetera. This is our mantra. And now we're going to have these calls. What do you want to discuss? It could be anything from challenges to learnings. The two top things that they came up with were how to drive engagement and what our competitors are doing. So what other professional services firm in our industry, what is their kind of social collaboration journey? And so I started having external guest speakers come in, and actually Rachel Hoppe was one of our first, and she really introduced the Working Out Loud concept to us. And then we've had someone from KPMG And we actually have Ernst & Young and Accenture lined up. But it's really giving them confidence that, one, we're not alone in our struggles, that there are some real challenges across enterprises worldwide, and we are on the right path. But also, of course, some are ahead or some had successes in areas we haven't. So it just connects them to a bigger purpose and a bigger world. And that's worked out. That's been really nice and really good conversation starters. You know, they get a peek into a fireside chat with, say, Rachel and I, and then we continue the conversation in our community.
So, Sherilyn, we love to wrap up by asking everyone what their community superpower is. So I'm wondering if you could share yours.
Oh, gosh. I really don't like these humble brag type of things, but I guess the first thing that comes to mind is that I really enjoy connecting people. So for me, it's easy to spot commonalities, similarities when I'm talking to people. So for example, with our advocates group, when we first did an open call, hey, who wants to be a champion? This is what it takes. This is what the benefits you'll get. I actually set up 30-minute calls with every single champion and finally got through to all of them after a few months. And I don't think I can continue that, but I intentionally did that so I could get to know them, build a relationship, but really understand what motivates them and kind of just get a overall assessment of, you know, what their interests or their strengths were. And just by listening and kind of gathering patterns, it's easy for me to start kind of introducing them to each other or connect them to different projects and groups. And then it's easy for me too to just know how to reward them and kind of intrinsically or extrinsically motivate them with the different initiatives we have. So, I mean, a quick example, just recently we started awarding our champions with the Work Out Loud framework. And there was this woman out of Munich who won the Ask and Answer Out Loud Award. And she was just very instrumental in our help center community, which is just a very basic community's help, as well as our community managers group. She's constantly asking questions around, you know, how can we help with user experience? Like, how can I upload a photo on behalf of somebody else? And she would also answer a lot of other people's questions. And I mean, again, it kind of goes back to basic community management, you know, kind of browsing through and trolling and knowing who's who and keeping an eye on your champions and your influencers. Yep. But I think when you invest in those few, you know, the few that really make a difference, right? The 20% or whatever, it really goes a long way. And then knowing what motivates them, is it just pure recognition or do they actually want a cash prize? But anyways, that's just something I really enjoy. And I think it's just been effective. And I wish I could learn how to make it scale a lot better, but, that's
don't we all?
Yes.
That's awesome. And I knew there was a reason I like you, Sherilyn. It's, I'm a connector too. That's what I really enjoy doing. So thank you so much for taking the time today on the Conversations with Community Manager podcast. For Shannon and I, we're both excited we have the time and look forward to part two, maybe down in the future.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.